As a boy, laying in the middle of a field, down flat in the green grass, hidden from sight of siblings, the sky and clouds passed overhead, young eyes dreaming. All that sky, so remarkably vast. It was all just so up there, and I was so down here. The beautiful day, warm and lazy, cicadas buzzing in the treetops for a little while. My young mind was left to itself to wander and imagine all things impossible. The blue was so blue, an endless blue of wonder. The following poem, titled The Cloud by Percy Bysshe Shelley, is written from the perspective of the clouds, how the clouds see things, as if the clouds were personified, having thoughts, feelings, and motivations. Listen to the first stanza and let your mind see the vision his poetry brings. I bring fresh showers for the thirsting flowers from the seas and the streams. I bear light shade for the leaves when laid in their noonday dreams. From my wings are shaken the dews that waken the sweet buds, every one, when rocked to rest on their mother's breast as she dances about the sun. I wield the flail of the lashing hail and whiten the green plains under, and then again I dissolve it in rain and laugh as I pass in thunder. Clouds are another mystery upon the earth, born from the infinite imagination of God Himself. They mystify us as our eyes see them, hovering around high mountain tops, and hypnotize us while we're laying in the sweet grass by a lake or in a field. At the sight of them, men are often inspired to prophecy and projecting future dates, and they are regularly used in Scripture as a metaphor. I can't help but wonder what God has built into clouds of Himself. There is just something about them which point to Him, describe Him, and speak of His mercy and kindness. The Lord's mysteries are hidden in all the earth for the delight of His inquiring children. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. There are, indeed, secrets and hidden wisdoms of the Lord, proclaimed from the beginning, before the foundations of the earth were laid. They are there to inspire us, to declare God's glory, and to embolden and influence mankind to think and ponder on the name of the Lord. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, a little cool jazz and contemplative conversation from the deck of a rural cafe overlooking the beautiful Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. Come, go with me. Pause a little while and let your mind imagine and see what our amazing God has imparted of Himself in all He made. Breathe in. Breathe out. Relax. Tap your toe and dream a little, and I'll be right back. Thank you. heaven and sky are our ceiling, what the Hebrews called the Shamayim, the realm of angels and clouds, mists and the great ponderings of men. If you could let go of your earth focus for a while and see beyond the beyond of all your eyes could gather to themselves, looking at the sky and the dreamscape of the clouds just inspires us all to dream. Even for unbelievers, watching the sky is mesmerizing. Something happens in the mind and heart of everyone who looks off into the blue, seeming to search for some unseen point to focus on. We stare out into the sky just like we sit entranced by the dancing flames of a campfire. Speaking of clouds, Percy Shelley wrote of clouds as if they had intent, thoughts, and understanding. The following is from the view of mankind and earth from the perspective of clouds. I sift the snow on the mountains below, and their great pines groan aghast. And all the night 'tis my pillow white, while I sleep in the arms of the blast. Sublime on the towers of my sky bowers, lightning my pilot sits. In a cavern under is fettered the thunder, it struggles and howls and fits. Over earth and ocean with gentle motion, this pilot is guiding me, lured by the love of the genii that move in the depths of the purple sea. Over the rills and the crags and the hills, over the lakes and the plains, wherever he dream, under mountain or stream, the spirit he loves remains. And I all the while bask in heaven's blue smile, whilst he is dissolving in rains. Clouds. Those enveloping vapors in the high places give us shade and bring us rain, morning dew, and many times are charged with lightning. They frame the sun and moon, shade us from oppressive heat, and hypnotize us as they move across early morning mountain peaks, hovering over valleys, rolling and wetting everything they touch. Clouds and mists shrouded the Lord and his work in the beginning, and in the end he will come riding on a white horse in the clouds. Clouds give the horizon its reflection and cause mankind to feel the need to slip into prose and write poetry. Morning mists appear as a visual impression of something rising, and high clouds at sunset are often a glorious color palette pointing towards something fading away. The light of the sun is reflected on the clouds like brilliant colors on a canvas. We see the pale rose and purple sky changing softly to daffodil yellow with white sunbeams pouring through the passes, making their edges burn. Some mists are different than others. Mountain clouds seem different than those on lakes and stream mists. With clouds come the showers which fall on every beautiful spot, some to the high places, thick and soft from the water stored way up high. Each one is a high, gentle waterfall in itself. The dew and raindrops seem to creep silently from the treetop to root bottom, sometimes from high thunder into the thunder of a river. The clouds step lightly on leaves and pine needles. They whisper peace to everything touched. When things are kissed by a cloud, they leave behind moisture, a tiny refraction of light gathered from the world around. We have clouds in our coffee and clouds in our head. When we are joyful or sad, we get misty-eyed. And sometimes we say, so-and-so lives in a fog. Sorrow casts a cloud over our faces as a high mist passing overhead blocks light to the earth. Job 7:9 refers to the way clouds can disappear, illustrating the way people disappear at death. Isaiah 44 verse 22 describes how clouds disappear, but it's an idiom referring to the blotting out of sin. Hosea illustrates transitory goodness to a fast disappearing morning cloud in Hosea 6:4. Job 36:26-29. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. The number of his years is unsearchable. For he draws up the drops of water, they distill his mist and rain, which the skies pour down and drop on mankind abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thunderings of his pavilion? The scriptures tell the story of when the nation of Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years. God sustained the people by providing them with manna and gave them clouds for relief from the heat. The manna came down from the vault over the earth, the heavens, or Shamayim. Shamayim literally means fiery waters, but is usually translated as heaven. Shamayim is a dew or moisture, and manna is spelled with two Hebrew letters. The first letter is symbolic for waves of water, as in the dew from heaven. And the second letter, very simply put, symbolizes a fish or meat, as in a solid nutritional sustenance in the water. But in this case, it is much more than that. Manna, given by God, came from the sky and was a provision for the people receiving from God in order to aid their passing through their trials and ordeals. Just like Israel in the desert needed God's provision, we need it also in order to survive our wilderness. The Lord makes a way where there was no way. Clouds in the vault of the sky over us is a picture of the Lord providing for us what we need in order to accomplish his vision for us. We need more than just the water. We also need what is in the water. His life. I guess you could say it's a type of primordial wisdom within the water. As the early morning mists covered the land, God made a provision. We need clouds. I've touched the clouds. I've touched the rain at its source. While standing in a cloud on a mountaintop, touching the rain at the fountain spout, water trickled down my finger. And there, a vision began to grow in my mind of the goodness of God running into my life, like a drop of rain on the windshield. It starts at the top and runs down, gives a little, gets a little. In the beginning, the Lord made all things, and all things were called good. He imparted part of himself into everything his hands fashioned, and whatever his great heart imagined, which was necessary for his plan of man's redemption. In his wisdom, God saw the need in the heart of man for things like seasons. I find it eternally fascinating to discover the parts of my God which are hidden in all he created, because to discover what he's hidden there is to know the one I love, the focus of my life. In the canvas over our heads called the sky, in our need for seasons, it is amazing how the clouds change in their presentation with each season, just like we change when entering and exiting a season. Thank you. Not only are there clouds in the sky, but the Lord allowed emotional clouds as an indicator of our state of being. Sometimes it is a very defined cloud, and other times it's like a mist or a haze which lays over our decision-making abilities. Now, this was interesting to me. God's idea of a mist is a subtle door of intent. Yeah, I said subtle because it's not big and in your face. It's a soft cloud that's not very dense and is full of possibilities. Now, before you say that's just too far out there, think about it. Imagine a mist over a lake early in the morning. Isn't it like a faint idea hovering? And from God's perspective, the idea is one of a mist in our mind pointing toward the hope of a dream or concept. Here's another way to see it. Each drop of water vapor in the multitude of droplets which comprise a cloud is a prism in itself, reflecting and refracting whatever light it catches on one side, bends the light, then the light exits on the other side of the droplet, transformed. Light enters the vapor droplet and bends, causing a refracting or filtering of the light to be seen as red or green or any number of primary colors of the rainbow. The sky is blue because of light passing through water vapor, and what comes to us as refracted light, we see as the color blue. God designed sunlight to be a summation of light frequencies, and like millions of little miniature prisms, water vapor bends sunlight to filter out other color frequencies, and as a result, we constantly have blue in front of us. Blue is often recognized as the color of revelation. Like the light through a cloud or water vapor, we often see things through the prism of our own fears. Mankind has such a, what I call, passive relationship with so much of what God has made. Like clouds. We use the word and concept of clouds to describe ourselves.
Don't cloud the issue.
Or don't distract from the topic at hand by introducing irrelevant and/or misleading information.
There was a cloud in her face.
Meaning there was a darkness in her eyes and her face reflected her internal person, possibly a state of sadness, worry, anger, or confusion, which shrouded what was normally a more upbeat countenance. Her circumstances or emotional person perpetuated a bend of light and was reflected in her face and posture. Or someone might say,
every dark cloud has a silver lining.
And what we really mean is that it is possible for something good to come out of a bad situation. And the silver lining on a cloud is an indication that the sun is shining behind it. Being on cloud nine is something we say when things are extremely good and we're happy, as if cloud one is terrible. Cloud 5 is just being mediocre. Oh, and why isn't there a cloud 10? Or is it that being on cloud 9 just has a nice rhythm when spoken? I've lived with clouds in my head during times of confusion or simply not being able to reason my way through a dilemma. When I was much younger and light years more stupid than today, I used a lot of drugs and there was a constant cloud in my head. Of course, at the time, I thought I was seeing clearly. But honestly, standing here today, looking back there at that time, I was not clear-headed. There were no clear skies in my life, only muddled thinking and clouded look-ahead sight, which made it difficult to see more than a few steps ahead. Oh, come Holy Spirit, and blow the mist from our eyes and minds, and give us clarity and understanding, Lord. Springtime brings wondrous skies and evolving unique cloud formations. The clouds of summer change shape again, bringing gentle breezes to zephyr our troubles away as we delight ourselves with blueberries or fresh fruit. When the season turns toward fall, shadows lengthen. Soon the soft hills begin turning russet and the grayscale of winter becomes more prevalent. Have you noticed that the clouds begin to set the precedent for the changing days ahead? They often are like subtle forerunners, declaring the future of the changing climate of the days of our lives. We say things like,
"Dark days are ahead,"
based on the vision of clouds and sky in our imagination, where trouble looks like an angry sky to us. We also use the inverse of that, saying,
"Brighter days are coming,"
meaning sunny skies, distant billowy clouds, pleasant weather, and easier living is in our future. I think we could say that the Lord uses the sky and clouds as a foretelling of what is to come, and we adopt the foretellings so we'll know how to prepare for the seasons ahead. When the Lord formed man, in his infinite wisdom, he saw man's need for a mystery in the sky. So he invented clouds to cause us to ponder and wonder, as shade for the earth and a container for the rain, and mists to shroud his glory. The Lord made cloud formations to change with the seasons. The large billowy cumulus clouds of summer changed to being flatter and more windswept. The Lord made the change of seasons observable in the heavens, as discernible as the change in temperature and wind direction. The Lord made the change of seasons observable in the heavens and are discernible as the change in temperature and wind direction. As seasons change, the sky and clouds modify and diversify. All things begin to rotate towards the end, only to begin again in the spring. At the close of summer, flowers go to seed, the number of new shoots decline, the mercy of the clouds in the form of rain no longer fall gently on the plain. The clouds move over us, hovering, looking back at us as we study them. I have been moved in quiet wonder watching the skies, daydreaming about what endless garden lies just on the other side of the clouds, and what unseen doors open to wondrous hidden places just around the lower curve of a particularly profound cumulus nimbus. I think I'll cap this right there. Think about it. Clouds and mists, they're important. Consider Revelation 1:7. "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him." Even so, amen. And again in Revelation 10:1, Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. Gosh, what a vision! Wrapped in a cloud and a rainbow over his head. Huh. And possibly here's the cream of the cream. See it if you will, Revelation 14, 14 through 16. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud,
Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come. For the harvest of the earth is full and ripe. So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped.
The vision makes me tremble. I'm Social Porter, and this has been Outposts, Cool Jazz and Contemplative Conversation, broadcast semi-live from the deck area overlooking the beautiful Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. This programming is meant to inspire us all to a deeper walk with God, below the surface of our presentation face where we're always being so safe. Safe in our music, safe in our decisions, safe in our faith, safe in our opinions. Friends, it's time to walk on water and take a chance with God. All music was provided by Michael Walney, Trevor Gordon Hall, Marius Nissett, Lars Danielson, Yellow Jackets, Antonio Sanchez, David Sanchez, Guitar Republic, Jimmy Heath, and Jeff Scarrett. All music use is licensed by BMI. Support was by Living in His Name Ministries, Area 22 Guitars, Alan, Kevin, and Tommy at the Mebane Freedom League, Tony and Danielle of McDowell Electric, Paul at International Tile, Brent and Paul at WK Studios, Shepherd Funeral Home serving down-home potato salad and fried chicken while you're waiting for your loved ones to be processed, and of course, Jeff and Karen of Trinity Bakers on Main Street, where there's always something good in the oven. God likes clouds and has imparted of himself into all he has made, and it is good. Be clear-headed this week and let your eye not be clouded, nor your feet to stumble for lack of vision. Pray for your neighbors, be strong and courageous, look up and watch the sky. Jesus is coming back. I'll talk to you later. Amen.